On the table, I have a couple of things. I have some tennis shoes, very worn out tennis shoes, some bread, and some olives. Now, all three of these things have one thing in common, and it's one specific word in the scriptures. And we're going to tell you what that word is and how it connects to all of these things. Welcome to Jesus Christ in Scripture, Finding Christ on Every Page. I'm Tammy Uzalak Hall, and this is my friend, Dr. Donald W. Perry. And we are so excited to talk to you about this week's Come Follow Me lesson, which is in Exodus chapters 1-6. And this is part one of two videos about these chapters. So, Don, teach us what these three words have in common with one word in Scripture.
All right. The word is holiness, or holy.
Holy.
So let's look at some text, and let's look at an important lexicon that'll help you and I understand holiness as we walk through life and as we participate in ordinances and go to the temple and worship, that we may all be holy.
All right.
Of very crucial importance in the scriptures, holiness also comes from sacrificial blood under the law of Moses, but that points to Jesus and his eternal sacrifice. So Exodus 3:1-6.
Yeah.
Moses came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb, and the angel of the Lord, and I want to remind everyone, in Hebrew, the word is Jehovah, and Jehovah is Jesus. Now, when people are reading this 6,800 times, Lord, I want them to think it's Jesus, because it is.
Well, and really quickly, where it just starts out by saying to the mountain of God, is that, can we just think in our mind that this is about to be a very sacred temple experience for Moses?
I love it. Yes.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
A flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and Moses looked, and the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Now, a lot of these sacred experiences, if not all, God knows the person's name.
Yes.
And he uses them, and not, he uses the name. And Moses said, here am I. And he said, God said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, God said, so he's identified himself. I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.
I think this is such an important verse. There are so many things to highlight in it. One of the things that I think is really important for me, because I remember all the time in scripture, you're going to read a lot where the Lord will identify himself as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And I remember asking, like, why? Like, why does it matter that he's always introducing himself? Or in the Book of Mormon, he is referred to as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And what I come to understand is that the reason he does that is because all of the people that Moses is about to speak to, they have believed in the story of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those are their fathers. Can you imagine if we believed in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's story as deeply as these people did, and as deeply as the people that Moses is about to talk to? Because he'll say that that's who he is, and they'll go, oh, we know who Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are. And so their ears perk up. That is their God. That is who they have believed in. And so I love that right here he's saying, I am, and then he's giving even his name, kind of using people's first names. Did I get it right?
You got it. So perfect.
Okay.
And there's a similar expression when a man with a drawn sword appears to Joshua. I'm not going to give it away now. It's another podcast. But we have a similar expression. Take your shoes off. This is holy ground.
Holy ground.
This is Moses here. It's a great image. He's taking his sandal off, and there's the burning bush.
Why do you think he asked him to take his shoes off? Like, what does that have to do?
Okay, it's going to come up in this one.
Okay.
And let me explain this one. This is from the Dictionary of Classical Hebrew, which is a lexicon. It's one of my favorite lexicons. He gives a really good definition of this root letter, these root letters, to be holy. So what does it mean to be holy? And we're going to look at some of these elements.
How do you say this in Hebrew?
Well, it's kadosh or kodesh.
Kadosh.
So there are different ways. This is yikdosh. So let's look at this.
Okay.
And then we'll look at specific examples. Be holy, become holy, i.e. regarded as belonging to the deity in a positive sense, resulting in need for removal from ordinary use. And you just said, why did he take his shoes off? That's ordinary. That's him tending sheep and going back and forth and living life. So let's get away from ordinary and make it holy.
this great thing right here.
Yep.
Removal for special treatment because of consecrate, like for yep. special treatment. And that where he was, that bush, special treatment.
Yeah.
That makes
special
sense.
Special treatment.
Great.
So let's look at some examples. Let's go through these. Regarded as belonging to the deity, meaning to God. Things that belong to him mm-hmm. are holy. So his names, they belong to him, his titles, those are holy. God, Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father, the Holy Ghost are holy. They belong to him. Temples belong to him. And within the temples, altars, the Ark of the Covenant, anointing oil, sacred writings, offerings, Sabbaths, prophets, plus much more. Everything that belongs to God is holy. And moving down a little bit, removal from ordinary use. Things that belong to mortality in our celestial world are ordinary use. What does that mean? Ordinary use is things we do daily. Ordinary, in my house, I walk back and forth from room to room, or at where I teach, I walk back, or I have my office. Now, if I'm going to remove myself from an ordinary practice, I'm going to kneel down to talk to God. Ordinary, I'm sitting to talk to people, or I'm standing, or I'm at a table. That's mm-hmm. ordinary. So let's get out of that ordinary. So when I talk to God, I'm on my knees.
Yes.
And it's a quiet space. Here's one more example.
Okay.
My wife and I took our son and his two daughters, our two granddaughters, through the Orem Temple open house. Mm-hmm. And when we got there, the oldest daughter was about 12 at the time. And we'd go into one space, one sacred room, and she'd walk through like this. In 10 seconds, she's in the next. And we couldn't keep up with her. So after a couple rooms, I thought, I need to stop this to make it more sacred and holy for her. So what I did is at each room, I'd say, let's sit down. And I'd ask the two granddaughters, look at this. One, what's your favorite painting here? And what's your favorite architectural element? Hmm. And they'd pause.
Yeah.
And they'd look at each painting of Jesus or some sacred painting. Maybe it's landscape, but it was in the temple. I like that one. Why do you like that one? Tell me why. And then architectural. Oh, what are these on the ceiling? Or look at the fancy door or the mm-hmm. doorknob. And they would pause. So ordinary is just walking through. But removal of the ordinary, pause and think, okay, we're in the Lord's house.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by removal from ordinary.
So we have ordinary bread
yeah.
and ordinary olives.
Yeah.
Very ordinary. But they become holy when they're blessed, and they become holy when they become olive oil.
Yes.
When they're set apart and consecrated for God's use.
Yes.
That's going from the ordinary to the holy.
Yep.
Okay. There's
Good.
The connection for holy.
Excellent.
So excellent. Okay, Don, let's go to the next thing then.
Okay. The next one is need for special treatment because of consecration by blood. Blood is a powerful scriptural element in the scriptures throughout the standard works, but also in the law of Moses. The blood is used in the sacrifices to make an atonement. Mm-hmm. And so this is maybe the main point of the whole matter. Holiness comes by sacrifice of blood, and it points to the blood of Christ. So Christ's blood in the Garden of Gethsemane and on the cross, it will make us holy.
Okay. Throughout the Old Testament, you're going to see examples of the use of blood and putting blood on a horn, which a horn might seem very ordinary,
right?
But putting the blood on the horn, and the horn is an example of Jesus Christ, then that blood then makes that experience holy.
Great example.
Okay, I like that.
Exodus 29, then you shall take part of the blood that is on the altar and of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and his garments. Now here, presentism. If
Seems
a
weird.
Church leader or someone came up to you and started sprinkling blood on you, you'd say, what? What's going on? This is from God. And on his sons and his sons' garments, he, and I put it in bold, he and his garments shall be holy. The result of this is now they and their garments are holy.
Yep.
Example. Here's another example.
And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it, the altar of incense, once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonements. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord. Okay, I have a question. Because right here you have the Hebrew, and it is the word holy twice. It's holy, and then it's holy with plural. What does that mean when you see that in Hebrew?
So it's holy of holinesses.
I like that because I've learned in Hebrew, when you see it twice or three times, it just means really the emphasis is on just how holy it is, the most holy.
Yep.
You can't get more holy than that.
So this is talking about atonement and blood, and it all points to, and I testify, and I'm absolutely certain of what I'm talking about, points to Jesus and his blood.
Yep.
Okay, the next one. Ready for the next one?
Yes. Teach us what this is and what this Y means.
Okay, the Y is short for the Hebrew form of Jehovah.
Yes.
It's an abbreviation.
Okay.
So because offered to Jehovah, anything that's offered to Jehovah is holy. Sacrifices, offerings, tithing, prayers, our time, our talents, and much more. Okay, because of the lack of content with women, let me explain. This is a possible allusion to Leviticus. Leviticus 15 is a fascinating chapter, in my opinion. It's directed to men and women. It's kind of personal parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's men and women who are having intimacy.
Yes, very good. I wanted to know, because when you read that, you kind of go, wait, so being with a woman makes it not holy.
Yeah.
But it has to do with intimacy.
Yeah.
And when you're not engaged in that, you're holy.
Yeah.
But again, don't remember presentism.
Yeah.
We talked about that word.
Yeah, you really have to study all of Leviticus mm-hmm. 15 to grasp what this means. And then the last one is because of contact with another holy thing. Mm. Holy things communicate holiness.
Okay.
Whoa, what does that mean?
Yeah, tell me.
Yeah, what does that mean? So if there's a holy thing, anything holy that we've talked about, it can communicate to you holiness. You can become holy. Whatsoever touches the altar, which is holy, mm-hmm. the temple altar, will be holy.
Wow.
Is that amazing?
Yeah, that's
so
incredible.
So you go to the altar, you touch it, and it communicates holiness to you. Temple utensils, lampstand, basin, and certain food offerings and so on will communicate holiness.
So bread to us on Sunday
yeah.
communicates holiness.
I love that. Yes.
So we
yes.
rather, and again, it's taking something so ordinary
yes.
that then the Lord is saying, because of a prayer done at an altar,
yeah.
which is communicating holiness. I love yeah. this idea to think of going to church on Sunday, sitting down to take the sacrament, and just thinking of the young men touching this altar, which seems so ordinary, but in that context, it is holy. And it's holding the emblems of the sacrament, which again, ordinary water, ordinary bread, but the Lord sanctifies it, which is another word for holiness, to become holy. And he will sanctify those items for us as we partake. And then I love that, Don, we touch the bread and we become
yeah.
holy.
Yeah.
It's so much more than just taking the bread and water.
I'm going to also compare it to our temple.
Okay.
And this is not scriptural. This is just my idea.
Great.
So you go to the temple. It's consecrated, dedicated, and it's holy. Holiness to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in the temple. You've removed your shoes. You're dressed in white. So dressing in white, you're removal from the ordinary.
Yeah.
I don't wear white in my house.
Right.
But I wear white in the temple. So ordinary is something else in the house. But in the temple, it's removal from the ordinary. But just walking in the house of the Lord communicates holiness to me.
Okay, this makes me think of a scripture, yeah. Don, to back up what you said.
Yeah.
And it is the Kirtland Temple dedication. So it's section 109, verse 13. And it's talking about this temple. And that all people who shall enter upon the threshold of the Lord's house, you may feel thy power and feel constrained to acknowledge that thou hast sanctified it and that this is thy house, a place of holiness.
Excellent.
Isn't that awesome?
And guess what? The word sanctify in the Hebrew language comes from the same root as holiness. So you've got sanctified
cool.
and holiness in the same verse. Excellent.
Wow.
What's holy? God, Jehovah's mm-hmm. name, his presence, his divine activities, attributes, qualities. Space
yeah.
is holy. The temple things, priestly vestments, that's sacred temple clothing. Certain foods, as you represented, and animals,
very
times
cool.
of worship, certain paths and actions, and of course, heavenly beings, and Israel and its people when they keep the commandments. Here are some examples of the usage of holy.
7 days thou shalt make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it, and it shall be an altar most holy. Whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be holy. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy.
And again, the word sanctify is from the same mm-hmm. root. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. That's his actual name.
Mm-hmm.
I dwell in the high and holy place. And then the seraphs, one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And that ye may put difference between the holy and unholy. And I hope all of us do that. And between unclean and clean.
So this lesson has had me thinking a lot as we've been preparing for it. And as I've been going through my daily life, thinking about ordinary things in my life that are actually holy. And I would love to know from our listeners, what are some ordinary things that have become holy to you just by virtue of them being connected to our Savior, to the temple, to your Sunday worship? And share with us. I would love to know. We've shared some examples today of things that are holy, but the whole goal with this lesson is for you to find the holy in the ordinary. Find the holy and find your connection to the holiest of all, which is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because just from this lesson and the things you've talked on, I'm realizing there is more holiness around us than I think Satan wants us to realize.
I agree.
Yeah, and sometimes it's our tendency to lean into the world and go, it's such a wicked world and it's such a terrible place, but it's also very holy and there's holiness all around us. So find the holy in the ordinary and share with us down below some of the experiences that you're having with this word and in your own life. Thank you for joining us as we've talked about holy, and we look forward to seeing you in the next episode where we'll continue to talk about stories from the book of Exodus. Shalom and goodbye.